I was doing pretty good over there, wasn't I? I was just so proud of myself over there. Thank you all so much. That just...
Unplugged.
I'm all... Well, hey, it worked. All right, God heard you, and that's what we're here for. All right, all right. And you, of all people, you know that one, so... And you're closer to God than a lot of us, you know, just... Size alone is getting you up there.
That's a two-edged sword.
So I've been told. Well, I think most of you are aware that I have a different car now. Some of you are aware that the car that I had that was 14 years old, that had 300,000 miles on it, that had been stolen and smashed and all those things, that now I have a car only 4 years old with only 40,000 miles on it. All right, and it's a vroom vroom car. All right, it's a car. It has more than one speed, and I don't have to push it. It is a great, great car. And so I had to go to Miami. All right, and that's a bit of a, you know, because the other car, there was no way that car was ever gonna get. So I had to go down to Miami. All right, but I'm not worried about it because I have a vroom vroom car. Right? I'm like, oh, look at me. I'm going to go down to Miami. I got a car. Vroom, 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 vroom. And in addition to having a vroom, vroom car, I have one of those vroom, vroom passes. All right? You know, the pass that you can get, you know, that you put it up on the windshield. And so I have a vroom, vroom car, and I got that vroom, vroom pass so that I can go on the vroom, vroom lane. I'm like, I'm just going to vroom, vroom all the way down to Miami. This is going to be great. I am excited. I get myself going. I'm going down 95, going through Fort Lauderdale. Boom. They don't have a vroom, vroom lane in Fort Lauderdale. I grew up there. Ain't nothing vroom, vroom about that place since I left. So, but now I'm going south, and all of a sudden, ha, the vroom, vroom lane. I'm just so happy. I have my vroom vroom thing on the windshield. I'm in my vroom vroom car. I pull into the vroom vroom lane, and I'm just like, ooh, this is going to be sweet. I'm going to set a record time. Just, yeah. I'm like, well, how come you guys aren't going vroom vroom? Because there's only one lane. You can't pass anybody. I'm like, well, this is not good design. Because... there's somebody at the head of the line that doesn't seem to understand that this is the vroom vroom lane. We are being passed by people in clunkers in the other lanes. Peons who are on bicycles are passing. We are going 45 miles an hour in the vroom vroom lane. It is a white Toyota Camry, and their left turn signal is on. I can see them. There are 3-4 cars ahead of me. I'm like, what are you doing? Yeah, it's funny now. It wasn't so funny Monday, I'm telling you. I'm not one to use profanity, but I can talk about people in ways that aren't pleasant. I did not have pleasant things to say about that person. I did not. What are they doing in the vroom vroom lane for people who have vroom vroom cars who want to go vroom vroom fast? 45 miles an hour? Do you know how long it takes to go to Miami? At 40, I will tell you, all right, it takes a lot longer than an hour. It takes a lot longer than an hour. And I would love to say that the return trip was better, but it wasn't. Because they allow buses to be in the vroom vroom lane. What the heck? Where are the vroom vroom police? All right, because you shouldn't have a bus in a vroom vroom lane because buses don't go fast either. This is a perfectly waste of a vroom vroom car with a vroom vroom pass in a vroom vroom lane. I've got issues. So I've got that going on in my head. And then, because I am schizophrenic, I've also got this song, the Johnny Diaz song. Have you all heard that? The Breathe? All right? I'm not going to sing it to you. Alarm clock screaming, bare feet hit the floor. It's off to the races, everybody out the door. I'm feeling like I'm falling behind. It's a crazy life. Have you heard that song before? 90 miles an hour, going fast as I can, trying to push harder, get the upper hand. So much to do in so little time. It's a crazy life. It's ready, set, go. It's another wild day when the stress is on the rise. In my heart, I feel you say, just breathe. Just breathe. Come and rest at my feet. And be, just be. Chaos calls, but all you really need is just breathe. In the gospel, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. He doesn't say, I am the good track coach. This psalm and God is not about God entering us a race to go faster, faster, faster. This psalm that we know and love so well reminds us to take time to be in God's presence. I will confess to you, I worship idols. I worship idols. One of the idols I worship is time. I mark my life around time. I worry about being someplace on time. I'm always going faster so that I can be somewhere. I'm looking for the quickest way around. I'm looking for the most efficient way I can do things so that I can do more things, so that I can make up time, because I'm worried about wasting time. I'm a time-aholic. Psalm 23, easily the best-known psalm, probably one of the best-known passages in the Bible. Gets read at a lot of funerals. I do that. But it's kind of ironic because it's really about another way of living, about living in the presence of God. I need to hear it sometimes as because the Lord is my shepherd. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You ever find yourself wanting things? Wanting things, I am guilty of that. And when I find myself wanting things, it works kind of as a speed bump. It's a warning to me, to let me know that I have forgotten that God's got me. God knows what I need. God knows the desires of my heart. God knows what I want. And if I am consumed with my want, then I am no longer focused on God. Whatever it is that I think I want, I need to be able to trust that God's have it. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I do not have to live my life driven by desires and wants. I do not have to live my life as a collection of appetites. Because if I'm always wanting, I'm going to be chronically discontent. And that is not satisfying, that is not healthy, and that is not the way God wants us to live. Why is it that we can find it easier to trust God for eternity than we can trust God for the present? You ever notice that? We all know God's going to get us to heaven, but we're kind of worried where he's taking us on earth. What's with that? I mean, it would seem to me it's a whole lot more complicated to get us to heaven than it is to help us navigate life here on earth, and yet we have a hard time. I think it's sometimes because we either worry that God doesn't have it, he doesn't have our backs, or we're worried about the way God is going to complete our desires and our wants. We're not sure that God is doing it the way we think God should do it. Do you ever try to find yourself giving God advice? I know you think you know. That's right. God, I know you think you know, but this is what I really would like. This is the way I think you should do it. And I've mapped it out for you. It's a 3-point plan. Okay, this is highlighted for you, all right, yellow, pink, blue, see? And then when we're blue, we're all good to go, and it's all happy. And no, we get on that treadmill of desire, and it doesn't matter how fast we go, and it doesn't matter how long we go, it's never going to take us to soul satisfaction. It's never going to ever, ever get us to that satisfaction. There's always another way of doing life, always. And we don't have to wait until we die in order to be in the presence of God. God is trying to say to us right now, we are in God's presence. And what gives us rest and what gives us the assurance of being in the presence is to know that God is the Good Shepherd. If we know our lives are under the Good Shepherd's care, then what are we afraid of? What are we concerned about? God's got this. Our life is a gift. Rest is a gift. And some of us have not rested well for a long, long time. If a glass or a pitcher is filled and something bumps into it, what happens? Spills out. We know that. We've had those accidents. What about our lives? When our lives are so full, and life is going to bump into us, something is going to bump into us, someone is going to bump into us, what happens? It spills out. Now, what spills out? If it's anger, if it's resentment, if it's irritability, then we haven't been in the green pasture for a long time. We haven't been beside the still waters for a long time. We haven't been in the Lord's presence for a long time. If we get bumped in, and what spills out is laughter, what spills out is joy, what spills out is love, that's okay. It's okay to be filled. It's what are we filled with? Because again, if we're always being consumed by wants and appetites and desires, and we're always discontent, then we're going to have anger and resentment, and we don't have trust. But when you trust in God, you're like, ha! It's all right, it's good. Somebody cuts you off in traffic, it's good, it's all right, I'm all right. You all say that. Somebody somewhere says that. Jesus is more than just the good shepherd. Jesus is our shepherd. Jesus' presence is peaceful. When we hear loud, negative voices going off in our heads, that's not Jesus. And we're away from God's presence. That's how we know Jesus is the good shepherd, when we make him our shepherd. Now, maybe there's some worry going on in your life right now. There's some tension, there's some fear, you're anxious, you're tight, you're just so tight. Knotted up, tangled up. Psalm 23 reminds us that this is our chance to relax in the presence of the Lord, of one who loves you and is going to care for you, knows all about your needs, knows all about your wants, knows everything going on in your life right now, and is trying to tell you, it will be okay. Trust in my care for you. I have provided for you everything you could possibly need. Because our souls get frayed, they get tired, we get weary, we get worn. We need the shepherd's care to restore us. We need the shepherd's care to remind us. It's not just the pace of our lives. It's not just work. Relationships can drain us sometimes. Any of you involved with high-maintenance people? All right? Not in my family, but let me tell you, some of you guys are high-maintenance. I will tell you. My job calls me to be involved. You know how it is. You got to go to work. You got a high maintenance client. Anybody? You know how it is. All right. Howard and Rick know what it's like to have to deal with a high maintenance person. My wife knows what it's like to deal with a high maintenance person. All right. Some of you know how to deal with a high maintenance person. All right. That's just Don being Don. Well, he's aggravating me. We find ourselves in need of being under the shepherd's care. Find ourselves need to be led to a quiet spot that refreshes us and restores us, the deepest parts of us. Do you remember in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, Jesus calls the disciples away. It says, then because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, and he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Jesus said that to the disciples. He said, let it go. So many times we think everything depends on us. Jesus is concerned that we're going to get all so caught up in doing good that we will collapse under the weight of responsibility and opportunity. Sometimes we forget. God doesn't want us to be working at such a frantic, hectic pace. Do we really think we're pleasing God when we live a hectic life? When we die and God is examining our lives with us, do we really think God is going to praise us and say, "Wow, look at that, you never took a day off and you worked through lunch all the time"? You think God's going to put a gold star by our name because of that? Or do you think we're going to have regret? I missed it. I missed this. What? That? And it's a rainbow, for goodness sakes. What more could God put in our face? And we're just flying by in the vroom vroom car down the vroom vroom lane, thinking about the vroom vroom things we have to do. And Jesus is saying, that's not it. The kingdom does not rest on you. It's not about you or your abilities or your jobs or your skills or any of those things. It's about being in my presence and trusting me to care for you as well as trusting me to care for other people. Most of us know the verse, "Be still and know that I am God," Psalm 46, in which we are reminded that God's saving, redeeming power, it's not our strivings and our doings and achievements that save us. When we do nothing in the presence of God, it recenters us, it reminds us, it restores us. Sometimes we're tempted to look at the Christian life as being a list of things we need to do. Do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. Watch what you say. Act the right way. Some of those things are important, but none of them are at the core of following Jesus. Psalm 23 invites us to see God as the ongoing source of our life and refreshment. And when we're so busy and so active and so consumed with our needs and our wants and our desires, we are missing the whole joy of life that God intends for us. Psalm 23 is the most beloved of all psalms for a reason, because it forces us and reminds us of God's love and God's care. How important it is that we rest in the presence of the Lord. We were talking about this in Bible study. It doesn't make the problems go away. It doesn't take the pain away. It doesn't take the hurt away. It doesn't take the emptiness away. It doesn't take the ache away. What it does is remind you of being in the presence of one who loves you and of one who cares for you. Some of you know that Diane and I were a foster family. 8.5 years. And mostly we took in what was called back then crack babies. Babies who were born, their mothers had been hooked on crack, less than 24 hours old sometimes. 4 pounds. That was the threshold for them to get out of the hospital. 4 pounds. Their stomachs were so tiny and small, they couldn't even take 2 ounces of formula. They were so unused to nourishment that they would throw it up almost the minute it hit the bottom of their stomach. All they had ever known in that womb was drugs, drugs, drugs. And they desperately wanted a drug. They were an addict with no drug. They would scream. Their bodies would straighten out, get so tight, so screaming out for that. So frightened, so scared. And what you would do, you would try to feed them, and it wouldn't work. And so you would hold them. You just held them. And they're screaming, and they're crying, and they're breaking your eardrum. And these little things, so small, yet are so strong, they're fighting, fighting, fighting. And yet, you say words, you just comfort them. It's okay. It's okay. They're 48 hours old. They don't know what okay is. You sing to them. You talk to them. You kiss their head, their cheeks. You hold them close. And what you discover is after a while, sometimes a long while, they either become exhausted or they relax.
And when they're relaxed, even if it's after being exhausted, when they're relaxed, you're able to feed them. You'll be able to remind them that there is someone there who is loving them and caring for them. You would be amazed how quick they learn to trust in that care. It's not hopeless. It's not endless. You make a difference. And some of us are like those babies, and we're screaming and we're consumed with what we think we need. We're addicted to our wants. We're addicted to our desires. We're addicted to our appetites. And God is saying, "But if you'll just relax, I'll take care of you. If you will just trust in me, I will provide for you. I cannot stop your addiction. I can remind you of my love and of my care. And when you come to trust me, you will no longer need your addiction. Whatever it is, money, power, fame, success, whatever it is, education, achievement, whatever it is, family, whatever it is, if you will trust me, I will provide for you and you will be comforted for all the days of your life. Amen."